T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are so lucky because you have tuned in to the award-winning Mark Reardon Radio Show. It only happens right here from 3 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Unfortunately, Mark's on vacation today, so you probably didn't pick the best time to tune in. My name is Mike Elam. I am sitting in for Mark. Today, Dave is there. Sue is there. Fred has joined us.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
I really like Fred Bottenheimer.
How you doing?
He's
Fred
my favorite.
Bottenheimer.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 8 minutes after 4 o'clock in the middle of America, and that means it is time for...
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to start with a serious story before I get into the goofiness, because he just, oh. Harvey Weinstein.
Uh-oh.
Enough said, Sue.
The end.
And now on to other news. That's it for that segment.
Harvey Weinstein is being extradited from New York to California today. They are moving him because, of course, he's been charged with rape, sexual battery, and other sex crimes in 5 different incidents in California.
Really? I've always heard he was such a nice guy.
Unbelievable. And this was between 2004 and 2013. He faces up to 140 years in prison if he is convicted.
Whoa!
And he is, right? He is 69 already. He has served just a little bit of that 23-year sentence that he's serving in Manhattan for essentially the same stuff. And his lawyers always argue he's ill.
Well, I would agree.
We shouldn't take him. Yeah, not that kind.
Oh, sorry.
We can't possibly take him. Just lock that man up. Anyway, he will be now facing all these charges in California.
You know, I don't think Satan dies, so I think you just keep him going. You know, it's like, okay, yeah. you've died this time, but you're going to come back, so we're going to keep you here. Harvey.
The smoke from the bootleg wildfire has already traveled all the way to the East Coast. That's how much smoke there was.
I saw the pictures of this over
Wasn't
the Manhattan skyline.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that today, too.
Weird.
I couldn't believe it. I was looking outside. Are we seeing it?
Yeah, we had a little bit of haze, apparently. But Pennsylvania really got hit, and certain other states did. Now, the fire, by the way, has scorched an area larger than L.A.
Wow.
That's a pretty good chunk of fire. And it's only 30% contained. I don't know how these firefighters do it.
I don't either. I had heard earlier that they said the smoke is getting up to 6 miles high.
Yeah, it's
in
creating,
the atmosphere.
Mike, they said it's creating its own weather.
Wow.
That's how much it is.
And
that's
Jeff
why
Bezos is going to fly through it with his large phallic spaceship.
Well, he already did, dear.
Oh, there you
yes.
go.
Mm-hmm. But it's made it to the East Coast, and they are just saying, yep, this is what happens. And there are another 80 fires burning, little ones that aren't as big, over 13 states. So this may
wow.
continue. They have really hideously dry conditions, and they're just saying, yep, buckle up. This is how it is.
The U.S. is on fire.
Pretty much.
I had a friend who moved out to L.A. for her job
Oof.
And stayed for like a year and left. She said it was just the stress of fearing the wildfires.
Really?
Would come close to her neighborhood.
Fred,
she just got out.
Did she have to drive? You know, they also talk about the hideous traffic. What, did she have to sit in traffic for 2 hours
a day? It was
like
a 90-minute commute.
Oh,
really?
My gosh. Crazy doing that every day.
Yeah.
90 minutes. Did she quit? Is that what she did, or did they reassign her?
They transferred her back to St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, that is insane.
She escaped.
But don't you have friends here, though, that I guess maybe do a 45-minute commute?
Yeah, well,
from
45.
St. Louis out to Lake St. Louis or something.
The longest commute that I have was when I worked down at the ABC 30 building, and I lived in Darden Prairie.
Oof.
So it was an hour. And that's when I started doing books on tape, by the way. Because back then, I still had cassettes that you listened to. So, but I hated it.
An hour without traffic?
An hour with traffic. Okay. Like, that's rush hour traffic. Going home wasn't as bad as coming in. But I can't imagine 90 minutes to 2 hours every day in L.A. and San Francisco.
Right. And if
Shoot
me now. And if there's an accident, forget it.
Yeah.
You're going to be there for
that's
about
your normal
eternity.
Traffic.
Fred, I can't picture you in L.A. Have you been to L.A.?
I've been there.
What did you think?
I didn't drive. It made my wife drive.
Yeah, that was...
It was just overwhelming.
You're so very courteous with your wife that we've learned.
You let her get hit by foul balls.
Yeah, I was going to say, so far you've let her be injured at a ball game and forced her to drive in L.A. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
His personal chauffeur.
Yeah, all right. Well, everyone is debating... Well, we're not really debating this, but it's National Hot Dog Day today,
hey!
Which brings up the debate.
Yes.
Where is our free hot dog?
No kidding.
Why is there no food? What has happened?
I miss radio pre-COVID.
Yes.
Because if this was pre-COVID, we would have food all over this mug right
thank
now.
Thank you, Mike.
I mean, you would gain 5 pounds a week in this building alone.
That's
I'm
right.
Very disappointed.
And the salespeople would sell something, they bring it in, and all of us in programming would eat whatever it was.
100%.
It did not matter what it was. We'll eat it.
I always love, and you guys can relate to this, we get the inner office emails that says, hey, so-and-so has brought cookies or cake, and it's sitting at the front desk, and all of a sudden you see it's like this big rush of traffic to wherever
yes,
it is. And
it's
I mean, the vultures gather, and it's gone within 5 minutes.
100%
guaranteed.
True.
So the point of this is, where's my freaking hot dog?
Right.
Well, actually, no.
Oh,
here is the question. Do you consider a hot dog in a bun a sandwich?
No.
You do not?
I do not.
Fred?
I do.
I've never thought about it that way.
I haven't either. Is a hot dog in a bun a sandwich? I would have said no, but then when you think about it, I think, well, maybe. I'm going no.
Is a hamburger in a bun a sandwich?
I guess.
I mean, I got to think it technically... Yes.
Go ahead.
I think if I split the hot dog and lay it out flat, it's more of a sandwich. If it's round for some reason, just for the sake of comparison, I'm going to say no. Because a round dog is not that. But if you split it and put cheese on it, now I've got a sandwich.
Well, yeah, but I don't know.
Would you like to know the definition of the U.S. Department
Please.
Of Agriculture?
Thank you.
They describe a sandwich as a, quote, meat or poultry filling between two slices of bread or bun or a biscuit. By that definition, a hot dog
is indeed
is
a sandwich.
It is. There
I
you
just
go.
Don't think of it like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official answer is yes.
Ding,
there's
ding,
a
ding.
New survey out where 53% of people say a hot dog is a sandwich, but 75% of people, or 3 out of 4, have put the condiments on the bun before the hot dog.
No, no, no.
I do that.
I do it. I've done it.
I do it.
I've done it both ways.
Well, what bugs me is I can't get my condiments kind of all spread out in the bun. So what I will do sometimes is I'll put the ketchup and mustard and relish on the bun before I put the hot dog on, close the bun so it gets equally distributed on both sides.
That's
and
clever.
And then I open up, and then I throw the dog in.
So that it's a good distribution of the condiments.
It really is.
Wow.
It gets both sides of the dog.
Yeah.
I can't
not just on top, because if you put it just on top, then it ends up dripping everywhere.
Right.
That's true. Fred?
That takes a lot of thought.
When you
get
a hot
dog, I'm not
that
type.
Do you just
I'm not the,
spread it
when,
on
when,
there?
When I run to the kitchen at work and grab a free hot dog, I'm just...
Well, hang on.
Dog.
If we're talking free hot dogs, it's a little different. I was talking about at home when I'm actually making.
Why is a free one any different?
Because I'm not thinking about it at that point.
All right. The idea, of course, is first of all, ketchup should not be on a hot dog, but that's a whole nother discussion. No, ketchup should not be on a hot dog.
Oh, gosh.
All right. I'm going to cross that one out. By the way, the official hot dog etiquette guide says you should never place condiments between the bun and the hot dog. It should go directly on the dog or directly, you know, above it. But they say that's just etiquette. Put the condiment on the hot dog. Put the little squiggle of the mustard, no ketchup, on the hot dog.
But I kind of like Mike's plan of the distribution of the condiments.
Thank you, Dave.
I am changing lives today.
Well, you can put it in there and swirl the dog. I don't care what you do. I'm just telling you that's the etiquette.
I like the swirling dog as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That works for me.
It's a lot of pressure.
By the way, I love the Sue's News segment of this. Why didn't we start this at 3:07 today?
It's very popular.
I would have done this for the last hour. Not that I didn't love Tim Lomar and Scott Drochnick and talking about Fauci, but I like this more.
We got to call back and see if they consider a hot dog a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I wonder from a prosecuting attorney standpoint. Mm. Is there a penalty if you put the condiments on before the dog?
Well, I didn't know there was official hot dog etiquette or a guide for it, so this is all news to me.
That just goes to show you there are people out there with way too much time on their hands.
Yes, that's true. It is National Hot Dog Day. The most popular state, or the state that most likes hot dogs, can anyone even throw me something? It is not Missouri or Illinois.
I'm going to go with New York.
I was going with New Jersey.
I'm going to go with Texas.
I did not see. Oh, that's a good guess. Just by square footage. West Virginia. West Virginia is number one in hot dogs.
Do they grow hot dogs in coal mines? Is that how this works?
No, it followed by North Carolina, South Carolina, finally Illinois, Maine, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Nevada. We don't even make it into the top of the top.
Really?
All in all, Americans will consume 7 billion hot dogs between Memorial Day and Labor Day. The most popular, of course, topping is mustard, which is...
I get it.
As it should be. Categories show... let me just stop there, because if I go into the weeds, it'll just get that. But 7 billion hot dogs.
That's a lot of meat.
Yes, it is.
Fat-ass nation.
Do you have...
Fake mystery meat.
A favorite hot dog? Brand.
Brand?
Uh-huh.
I like Nathan's.
I was going to say Nathan's is pretty solid.
We've done a taste test before in one of these. I think it was KZK years ago. Brought in 4 different kinds, and Nathan's won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's popular, and not only with me, but with my kids, too. So if kids like it, then you're really doing something right.
Well, you're right about that.
See, I will be cheap out, and I'll buy the Bar S hot dogs, because you can get 8 of them for $1.
What are they called?
Bar S.
What is that?
It's the same hot dog that told him to smear all the condiments on
the button. Oh, I got you.
Exactly.
So you can't taste it anyway. Yeah, okay.
Hey, it's a hot dog. Really?
R-S.
I mean, come on. Let's be honest.
Well, if you did a taste test, Mike, you'd be like, whoa, this Nathan's is much better.
I do like Nathan's, but, you know, Nathan's is not, you know, 8 for $1. So
I'm concerned that you're eating a hot dog. That Sue? It was 8 for $1.
I'm concerned that you're eating 8 for $1 hot dogs, and you're spending so much time spreading the condiments on the bun.
Fred,
before you
put the hot dog on.
Fred, when your hot dogs are 8 for $1, you need all the condiments you can get.
He wasn't kidding. You can get these at Target for $1.
See?
That is sad.
I'm just telling you. You don't build a body like this by eating the premium food, right? This is Mark Reardon 2.0 right here, baby.
And dictionary.com has just announced 300 new words. I kind of get annoyed when
300.
These things come out.
That's more than the average man uses in a day.
It is. Newsworthy things like 5G. And domestic terrorism, which I can't believe wasn't in there before.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
Cultural things like deplatform. Minoritize, side hustle. Side hustle is made.
Oh, I'm on the Mark Reardon
right?
show. I'm all about the side hustle.
And y'all. They are finally putting y'all in.
I'm surprised that's not in there.
It just screws up when you play Scrabble. I think.
How has y'all not been there?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure that's an actual word. Have at it. But they've also added oof, OOF, oof.
Oof.
Silver Fox. Why not?
What's that?
Well, it's the older gentleman there. Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, really? That's what that is?
Yeah, hey. Silver Fox. They've got one on the road show. I can't remember. The guy who does the jewelry is considered the Silver Fox of the road show. If anybody remembers that, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. and Zaddy, which is an attractive man who's also stylish, charming, and self-confident.
Well, that's me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Fred Bottomer, comma, I'm Zaddy.
I'm a Zuddy.
What does that even mean?
That's the opposite.
I see. Well, of course, Zuddy is the opposite of Zaddy. What was I thinking?
I love that.
And they have also added, well, this is a little, they are expanding the definition of snack to include sexy people.
What? Hey, I heard Marita Bartiromo was talking about this the other day on Fox Business. She was talking about trying to work in, you're a snack. Like, you're so good, I just want to eat you up.
That is
You are
something.
Quite the Twinkie.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That doesn't really have the same ring.
No.
It really doesn't.
No, it's, huh. And they've also added some profane words, but I think I can go ahead and say, I'm not going to say the actual word, but S show is one. Okay. They've put that
in. I've not used the dump button here yet, but I'm prepared.
Well, I'm not going to.
That's named after Adam Schiff, of course, the Schiff Show. Yes.
And if you're an A-hat.
A-hat, yes.
Yeah.
All
right. They've gone ahead and put that in there.
Mm-hmm. It's not a hockey term, huh?
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. And finally.
Hey!
Thanks. Go eat your dollar hot dogs. If you need a pick-me-up, do yourself a favor and watch Usain Bolt narrate. There is a little video of the National Baby Trials on YouTube, and they've taken just toddlers and put them in and had them do like track and field stuff.
And he narrates it?
Yeah, and he narrates it, and it's adorable.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh,
and they have like a
that.
Little toddler go up to do like a long jump and just kind of wander. It's adorable. And it's called the Digicel National Baby Trials on YouTube. You will love it. And that's it for Sue's News.
I love that. We should do Sue's News like all day long next time. If I get to do this show again, which Steve Moore is probably having second thoughts right now about why the hell did I ask him to do this?
It was the hot dogs that did it for him.
You were with me until those damn hot dogs, and then it just pushed me over the edge.
I think Steve's saying, I want that Silver Fox snack back in here the next time Mark's out.
Oh, if I only had a dollar for every time that came up. Hey, speaking of Silver Fox, the county executive of St. Charles County, Steve Ellman, who is always referred to that way. I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe not. Maybe not even by Gene, his wife. I don't know. But he is going to be on with us next. We are going to get an update of what's going on with the Delta variant as it relates to St. Charles County and the surrounding areas from the county executive perspective right here on the Mark Ridden Show on 97.1 FM Talk. All my memories gather around her. It is 97.1 FM Talk, the Mark Reardon Show. Mark is on vacation this week, so my name is Mike Elam. I am sitting in for him. I am a county councilman in St. Charles County, and I am lucky enough to have on the line with me my boss, well, one of them, Steve Ellman, who is the county executive for St. Charles County. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, Mr. Chairman. How are you?
I'm very good. It has been a crazy day so far. It seems like every time we turn around, there is something else that keeps dropping. And we had all the stuff that happened earlier today with Kevin McCarthy basically pulling the Republicans off of the committee to do the investigation into January 6th. And now I understand that the governor has had an announcement. I haven't seen all of the details of it. We've been a little busy with the award-winning radio show that we're doing here, by the way. I don't care what people say. It's award-winning because we gave ourselves an award. So that's how it's working so far. But
I see.
I understand that we now have incentives for people to get the COVID vaccine.
Well, I tell you, I've been in a meeting with Dennis Gannon from Franklin, from Jefferson County, and Tim Brinker from Franklin, and a couple state senators for the last hour and a half. So I haven't heard. What did he suggest?
Supposedly, there is a pool of about $10,000 that you're going to be able to get into if you have been fully vaccinated, and you are going to get to participate in that. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of the details. Fred Bottomer is working right now to try to get me all of that information so we can kind of figure out all the details about it, because I know the governor just finished a press conference not very long ago. But I'm really curious to find out, how did your meeting go in talking with the other folks, and is there a consensus on how we're going to go at this Delta variant?
Well, you're talking about the meeting I just came out of?
Correct.
Yeah, I tell you, we haven't really talked about that at all. What we were talking about was crime in St. Louis.
Ah.
And what sort of things we could do in the legislature in Jefferson City to fix it. Because, as you know, things are going well in St. Charles County, but they won't continue to go well if we don't get the region straightened out. So that's actually what I've been talking about the last hour and a half. Now, as far as this was like a lottery ticket that the governor's going to give folks?
It sounds that way. It sounds like there is a pool that you can participate in. I'm not sure how you're going to register for that.
Well, my son actually had this idea a couple weeks ago. He said he thought the governor should go ahead and tell everybody that if they get vaccinated, they'll get a lottery ticket. And their chances of winning on that lottery ticket will be about the same as their chances of getting COVID if they got vaccinated.
I love that. You've got about as good of odds as you have at
I
the
I mean,
other.
you make a good – it's a good message, although maybe not good government, but it but at least sends a good message. So.
Well, the only caveat to that would be if you're from Texas and you get on an airplane and you fly to D.C., your odds of actually getting COVID are evidently exponentially higher than they are anywhere else in the world, because private planes from Texas to D.C. evidently are just affected horribly by COVID, because if you've got 51 Texas House reps who can hop on a plane, all of them supposedly fully vaccinated, which I'm not sure that I buy that part right now. And then you have six of them who end up popping as positive with COVID. Then something tells me that must be the worst possible place in America to sit and get COVID.
Well, you may be right. but I think you're actually making a point, which I agree with.
Well, I loved your answer of politicians giving advice.
Do you want to ask me the question?
So what would you tell people about whether or not they should be vaccinated or not?
What I would tell them is don't go for medical advice to politicians or journalists. call you the medical expert with whom you have the most confidence. Ask them what to do and do what they tell you. I got my opinion on all these things like everybody else does. But you know what? We have people that get out of high school and they go to school for 7 years. All right. You know what they're called?
Doctors.
Well, and they are supposed to be experts on these things, and I know they don't always agree, and that's why you should listen to the one that you have confidence in. But the politicians and the journalists have been talking about it a lot more than they need to, and people need to talk to their the medical experts they trust. If you had another disease, you wouldn't be asking Steve Ellman or Mike Elam how to deal with it.
I would not ask Mike Elam's opinion on whether or not you should have that shot. I completely agree with you. Follow the medical advice from your medical professional who you have a relationship with and understands your current medical history and your particular markers that you may have, and they can give you much better advice. But I'm curious about your meeting that you had, because unfortunately, in the St. Louis metropolitan area, especially in downtown St. Louis, you have a much better chance of being a crime victim than being a COVID victim at this point. And I think that's horrible for our region.
I think it is as well. And you know, for some reason, the media just loves bad news. I actually did an interview this while ago with one of the TV stations. And if you remember, I don't know how long ago it was, there was a headline in the local newspaper about, 71 breakthrough cases, people who had the vaccine but still became infected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, 71 people are infected. Well, that was less than, I think, two-tenths of 1% or something like that of the people. The headline should have been, vaccine is even more effective than predicted, because they were predicting like, 90 to 95% effective. But if we could just get people reporting the good news in the same way that they report what they're trying to suggest is bad news, I think that would be a step in the right direction. We obviously we're coming back and we're having some of the same concerns we did a year ago at St. Charles County with the support of you and your colleagues. I think we're going to address it the same way we have all along. And I think we've been very successful, especially if you compare us with some other jurisdictions.
I was at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon earlier today, and Dr. Bernie DeBray was there, who is the superintendent of Fort Zumwalt School District, and he was talking about the fact that Fort Zumwalt, as a school district, is going back in this fall as mask optional at the moment. They're going to try to get back into that, and if you feel that you or your child needs to wear a mask, and that's what your family decides, that's fine for you. You go ahead, wear a mask, but they're not going to make it mandatory for the kids getting back into school. And I know you remember very well all of the folks who showed up at county council meetings trying to get us to tell the school districts that we should get done with wearing masks. And that just, quite frankly, was not within our scope of services.
Yeah, and it was very frustrating because, people knew that there was a problem. They weren't really sure who to blame. They came in, and talked to us about it. And I hope that they all understood when they left that, we've never had a mask mandate in St. Charles County, that the governor has never had a mask mandate from the state. But what the state did do is on this quarantine problem, you had so many kids that were being quarantined, they didn't have enough kids in school to teach them. And the school districts basically went to the state and said, listen, while these kids are quarantining on the weekend at night, how about letting them come to school during the day where they can learn? And what the state said is, that's fine. We're going to do that, but the school has to require a mask. So it was an option that the school exercised in order to get more kids in the classroom. And the eight largest jurisdictions were on a conference call with the governor last week talking about these various COVID situations. And that was what I brought up with him. I said, Governor, please understand that what DESE does with this is going to have a real impact on number one, not whether or not they wear a mask, but number two, whether kids who are on quarantine will actually be able to show up. So I'm hoping that tomorrow DESE will come out with a new set of rules, which, again, will keep the mask completely optional, even if the quarantine kids are going to come back.
And I think one of the points that a lot of groups who came to our meetings, at least, and I'm not sure how it was throughout the region, but one of the big things that they were saying is take a look at the health of the entire child, not just as it relates to COVID. Unfortunately, this past year, we have seen so many children choose to end their lives because of depression, isolationism. We've had a lot of drug abuse that has ramped up because of all this. And it's one of those kind of things where if you view where we are just through a COVID lens and you have a myopic view of this situation, then you're going to ignore these outlying things that are affecting people. And your mental health is a serious contender when you're trying to make health decisions for the region. It shouldn't just be about how is COVID affecting me from a virus perspective. It should be how is COVID affecting me from a quarantine standpoint, from an isolation standpoint, taking kids out of a schoolroom where they with their friends every day, where they're with teachers every day. You had a lot of kids that unfortunately we've gotten to the point where teachers are a great barometer for us to let us know how is that kid doing, because they see them day in and day out, and they probably see them more than anywhere else outside of their home. And they're going to be one of the first ones to notice, man, something's different with Johnny, and I need to pay special attention to what's going on. It's sad that we're at that point, but we need to be back together so we can have those check-in points with each other.
Well, you know, as you know, the administration in the county took the position that we're there. Our health department is there to give the school districts advice, but the decision ultimately was theirs. And, you know, with the support of the council in that regard, you know, we were very happy to see the school districts make the choice to get as many kids in school as they could. And I'm just very proud of the fact that 80% of our kids last year were in school, because I'm telling you, I think one of the long-term effects of this thing, and there's all kinds of questions about what the long-term health effects are, but the long-term educational effects are not going to be positive. And the sooner we can get everybody back in school and learning at the rate they're used to learning, the better off we're going to be. But there's kids out there that have lost a year and a half, and I'm not sure how we're going to catch them up, but we're certainly going to need to if we expect them to be as successful as their older brother and sisters have been.
Well, one of the things I appreciated about you, and I know I watched you take so much grief for your stance on this, but I appreciated the standpoint of you weren't just going to put legislation out there that says this is something that we can't enforce and we can't really put a penalty to it. So it doesn't make a lot of sense just to stick something on the books, to say we stuck it on the books and say you need to wear a mask, but I really have no enforcement penalty that's going to go with that. But what you had always said from the beginning was, I may be dead wrong on this or I may be right on the money, but what's going to tell is time. And as we look back over this past year, we've had the opportunity to look at how a lot of different jurisdictions have handled COVID, and especially COVID at schools. And we've been able to see, hey, this worked pretty well. This didn't work at all. This one we're still a little gray on. But now we have a bit of a track record that we can go back to and we can say, this is a better decision for us to make as a society, as a community, as a school district, as a county, as a city. We can do this better because now we have more information. And the better informed you are, the better decisions you should make. And I appreciated how you approached that. And I think St. Charles County actually, in hindsight, came out of this looking fantastic.
Well, we did. I mean, we had about the same percentage of people infected, but we had 23% fewer hospitalizations, and we had almost half as many deaths. And the hospitalizations and the deaths is what we started looking at more than a year ago. And again, right now, we're hearing numbers about number of infections out there. But again, we will in the next few weeks, what we'll be looking at is hospitalizations. And hopefully there aren't any deaths, but if there are, we'll know about them. And that will instruct us on what we need to do, or hopefully what we won't need to do.
Sorry about that. I turned my mic off by accident. I appreciate you, Steve, taking the time today. I know you've been busy in meetings all day long. We are going to find out the particulars on the COVID pool lottery, whatever it's called, for the state of Missouri. So I will have that information coming back on the other side of this. But I appreciate you making the time and talking with me for a little bit today.
Well, Mike, I enjoy listening to you on the radio as much as I enjoy being part of your meetings. You have the way of making a particularly boring subject, which we often time have to deal with at our meetings, sound interesting. So keep up the good work, man.
Hey, Steve, I appreciate it very much. That is St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman on the Mark Reardon Show this afternoon. I appreciate you taking the time, man. It is 4:46. We have got some more information about what is going on with the Missouri COVID lottery pool, the incentive to get your shot. And Dave will give us the details on that when we come back on the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. It is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk, and we have had a lot of fun so far. I still think I want to do just a whole hour of Sue's News. That just seems like that would be fun. But Dave has got some information on what have we found out about the governor's lottery program.
Yeah, so Missouri Governor Mike Parson announced today an incentive program called MoVIP to get people vaccinated against COVID-19. Vaccinated Missouri residents have the opportunity to win $10,000 every 2 weeks. The first drawing will be August 13th. The program will continue until October.
So here's how it works. There's going to be three categories for this. Entries into the vaccine incentive program will be divided into these categories: a red, white, and blue category. Red is adults receiving at least one dose after July 21st. White is adults receiving at least one dose before July 21st. And blue is kids aged 12 to 17 receiving at least one dose at any time. Over the next 3 months, 900 Missourians who have been vaccinated or get vaccinated will win cash or education savings account prizes of $10,000. It starts August 13th, and you can enter at mostopscovid.com/win.
There you go. You could be a big winner. All you have to do is get your shot. I thought they were going to do like red is for the Republican prize, blue is for the Democrat prize, and white is for all of you who don't want to be associated with the above. That works for me. Well, we'll find out how this thing is going to work. I want to introduce you to Wendy Houseman. You are going to meet her on the other side of the break. She is running for state rep in 107, the seat that Nick Schroyer is giving up. She is also part of the Federated Republican Women of St. Charles County. So I'm excited for you to meet her after the break. You are listening to The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.